Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Give me Ellie Tolvanen. Ellie Tolvanen tonight gets one on the power play, finally. Give me Tolvanen. Come on. This is it. Tonight's the day.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is.
Now down the right side, breaking in Tolvanen. He scores. Tolvanen puts it away upstairs, and the Predators win in overtime. 3-2.
The return to glory.
We got one!
Yes! I've done it! Finally! Press pick to click. It's happened. Welcome in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley finally has hit a winner in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll get to what's going to happen in the rest of the show here in just a second. First, Joe Rexroad, your reaction.
Well, good for you. I got to say, I got to give some props to Porth on that one.
That
was pretty good, man. That was pretty good.
Thank you, Porth.
And I tell you what, I'm a little bit disappointed in Pete Weber, because I understand the Preds won, and great, the Preds won.
We're not worried about the Preds right now.
That's fine. Yeah. But, I mean, I was expecting Pete to immediately talk about you and
I
pick the
too.
Click. Man, I tell you what, Ellie Tolvanen, he's on a tear. He's had a nice season. He might have been an angry young man last night if that play hadn't happened. I think it might have been time for a call out of you.
Yeah.
So, it's exciting. It's 6-6. It's 1-1.
Yeah, you did get another one last night. We don't care about
that. Well, yeah, well, fine. That's run-of-the-mill. Run-of-the-mill stuff.
I'd like to thank my family for sticking with me through this hard time. I'd like to thank my wife for putting up with me, my bad picks, my dog last night when Ellie Tolvanen scored and I yelled, and I was 2.5 minutes sending in my story late to NHL.com from celebrating across my living room. This is a life-changing day, not only here in our program, but really in my life as a whole.
That's inspiring.
It is, and that's what we're here about today.
I think we should talk about this for 4 hours.
I think we should talk about this today for 4 hours as well, and we're going to take your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Perhaps my favorite part about this is if you go back and look at my timeline on Twitter, I didn't say much last night. I was waiting in anticipation for something to happen, and Tolvanen got the puck on the power play, and they chased him off to the corner, and it ended up with a one-timer for Roman Josi, yada, yada, yada. Apparently, Stillman picked on Preds Pick to Click yesterday, and he picked Roman Josi, which just infuriated me right from the beginning.
Why does he get to pick?
I don't know. I don't know what this is, what's going on here. This is our competition. We're not one for one. Jared Stillman coming in here. This is our competition. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
But if you go back and look on my timeline, at 9:33 p.m. Central Standard Time, I tweeted, so who should I select in Preds Pick to Click on Thursday? Because I thought to myself, well, this is it. Tolvanen's not going to score. I mean, nothing's happening here. So who should I take on Thursday? At 9:34 p.m. Central Standard Time, Elli Tolvanen scores. A minute after that tweet.
That's crazy because I saw the tweet after he scored, so I assumed it was like,
It was before.
Who should I pick on Thursday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I was fully prepared for people to tell me to select, like, Jordan Tutu.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't play here anymore.
You did get a David Legwand.
Yeah, I did. There was a Legwand response in there. Ah, wow. This feels so good. Is this what you felt like all year? Just a constant state of winning?
Well, it's one of those. It's just like anything in life. You know, if it's in abundance, you take it for granted.
Yeah.
When you've gone through what you've gone through, the adversity in your life that you've gone through of not having one hit, I think that you appreciate it more.
I'd like
right?
to say this. Screw you to the city of Buffalo. I win. The slide ends first for Robbie Stanley. The Buffalo Sabres continue on their slide. Now, they still have to get to, what was it, 21 that I ended up at? They're at 18 right now.
They could very well get to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They could get that. But
you're done.
I'm done. Yeah. Slide's over. Their slide's not over.
1-21.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
I said yesterday I kind of feel like a Tennessee quarterback with this completion percentage just all over the field. Oh, what a great day. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Wayne from Spring Hill, who wants to weigh in on Preds Pick to Click. Wayne, thank you for calling in this morning.
I just wanted to be the first one to congratulate you. Finally,
thank you.
Now, here's the thing. There's a but. It came in overtime, so therefore that should be a tiebreaker, the fact that everybody else came in regulation.
I agree. I agree 1,000%. Wayne, I'm 100% with you. Right now, I'm leading this competition ahead of Ryan Porth.
What?
Oh, well, I'm leading.
I thought he meant the other way around.
No.
So you're saying because it's overtime, it means more. That's what you're saying,
yes.
Wayne?
We are tied.
No, I'm saying it means less. He should have got it in regulation.
Wayne, that's not the way we're going to operate here. No,
Wayne.
No.
Yes. Oh, man.
Wayne, I really loved that call up until that last part of it. Thank you, Wayne. We appreciate you calling in this morning. I think because of the magnitude of the goal, I'm ahead of you.
That's an interesting debate. I get the idea of, well, if you don't do it in the 60 minutes, you know, if you needed extra time to get it.
It's not a shootout goal. It's a goal.
Yeah, but I'm playing both sides here. I also get. This is a flat out ends the game winner in overtime. It's also 3-on-3. It's a little easier to score in 3-on-3. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can take this.
Also, pretty easy to score when the other team decides to stop skating and just let Elli Tolvanen go right behind him. Did you see Gurionov on that play? He's the one that took the puck into the zone for Dallas, and then all of a sudden he just
disappeared from the screen.
Stopped. And I don't know why. He just stopped, and Tolvanen was like, "Okay, I'm gonna keep going." That was it. Ah, what a day. Are we now convinced that Elli Tolvanen is going to become a star in this league? Not only because of the points he's been putting up as of late, but that he was able to break through this curse, which in some ways has been compared to the curse of the Bambino breaking through in this competition. Are we convinced now more than ever Elli Tolvanen is on a clear path to stardom?
Yeah, when this year's over, there's all the bullet points of all the different things he did. I mean, this has got to be in the top three or four bullet points, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this is potentially number one on the list, depending on how the rest of the season goes. And now that I've gotten the first one out of the way, I feel like this could be the start of something special. Like, we could see a dramatic comeback in the works because you know, once you get hot, it's like a goal scorer in the NHL. Sometimes all you need to see breakthrough is one. And now we've done that.
Now you've seen the puck go in.
The puck's gone in.
Right.
So my advice to the listeners out there, if you're watching with us today on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch, I'd be listening on Thursday at 8:45 at Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Whatever I select,
I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money, but that may be something to do.
Well, I think it means at least that we've got, like, the toilet bowl competition is now, it's
fierce.
It's strong. Yeah.
It's on.
We got, it's like the two brackets right now, the listeners and me over here, you two over here.
We're in the NIT.
But hey, like you said, there's enough time.
Oh, there's enough time.
There's enough time for you to make this a little more interesting.
Well, I guess we should probably congratulate you during this as well. Another selection by you last night. You're up to six. The listeners now at six as well.
We're in a
Callie Yarncroke again, just scoring goals.
And you mean Rex Croke?
Yes.
Yeah, Joe Davion, Rex Croke. Rex Croke. And listen, this is Captain Mayhem. I gave him the credit yesterday. Sometimes somebody puts something in front of you and leads you somewhere, right? I read that story from 2017, and the first two words were Callie Yarncroke. I'm like, well, he's my next pick to click. Plus, he's absolutely on like a 35 goal pace this year.
He is now tied for the team lead in goals with Philip Forsberg, 11.
And I mean, how close was he to not this game not being in overtime, you not having that chance, and him having a couple? My gosh, that was close.
It was very close.
In fact, when I saw that in real time, I thought that went in and popped out in real time.
Oh, the one that hit the crossbar?
Yeah. I never saw a replay, so maybe it did.
Well, they finally shook because there was never a whistle until the end of regulation.
Well, and Willie and C-Mace never debated whether or not that went in. Willie called it live that it went off the crossbar, and then they just went on.
Yeah, maybe because it fluttered, but I thought for sure. I was like, that was in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that was close. And then there'd be no...
It'd be doom and gloom this morning.
Yeah. Look, regardless of what happens from here on out, not only this year but with his entire career, this will forever bond Ellie Tolvanen and myself. This is something that really is almost supernatural to try and overcome, and we've done it. And I said yesterday, tonight is the day. Tonight is the day. I'm going to start making T-shirts from that. Also, I also said if this happens, I'm going to have to get Ellie Tolvanen some Finnish fish. So... I guess I have to go about doing that now. I don't know how to do that.
Just consult Pecorine.
I'll have to.
I'm assuming that when Pecorine makes fish around here, he gets it from, like, he doesn't get it shipped in from Finland, but I could be wrong.
Probably not.
I wonder, are there specific, you know, to Finland fish that he would, I mean, I've heard Pecorine talk a lot about salmon that he makes, but, like, is there, like, a
different
Finnish
type?
Yeah, like a Finnish, like, in that region?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have to do some research on that part of it.
I'm going to do that right now. But did you ask Ellie Tolvanen if he was excited for you?
I did not. I was too busy being excited for myself. It was a great night. I probably should have, though. And maybe now, you know, like Philip Forsberg's dad won't message me about not picking his son. Maybe it'll be like, hey, here we go. Time to pick Forsberg in this competition. It was a great day, a great night last night, life-changing. And oh, by the way, the Nashville Predators also won a game as well. Six games in a row, the Predators have won in dramatic fashion last night. They win 3-2 in overtime against the Dallas Stars. And really a game, the first couple of periods, Dallas dominated that game 5-on-5. And, you know, I still think Saros played well. Good to see him back in there. We were wondering about his injury status yesterday. I thought Saros was good once again. And then the Predators, they kicked it into a different gear into the third period. Callie Yarncroke ties the game, and you get into overtime. And Ekholm had a great chance right before that. Sorry, Porth. And then Tolvanen finishes off on a great pass from Victor Arvidsson. So this team continues to roll right along, winning games. And last night helping me out in this competition.
Have you ever heard of a Xander?
A what?
Xander?
Xander Insurance?
Yeah.
No. Xander is a fish in Finland.
Okay.
Also, Burbo, B-U-R-B-O-T, and various cyprinids. I'm looking at fishinginfinland.com.
Okay. So I wonder how I go about finding these things.
There's literally a website called fishinginfinland.com.
Well, it's fishinginfinland.fi.
That would stand for Finland.
Yeah. / species. There are 67 of them, including, you know, trout and salmon and perch and pike and all that stuff. But, yeah. Xander, you might want to look into Xander and Burbo,
Cool, thank you.
For you, Ellie.
It could be a gift coming. towards Ellie Tolvanen's way. Just
might be a little rotten, but yeah, it's the thought that counts.
I don't know what the delivery time on that would be. When we come back.
Amazon? Finish Amazon?
At some point, you'll probably just end up at like Captain D's and just deliver that fish.
That could be. Ryan Porth, where does this rank in the greatest moments in the history of the show?
Oh, it's top three.
Okay.
I can't think of the other two right now.
It's so top three.
So it's probably top one.
Yes. All right. Finally, Robbie Stanley, a champion in Preds Pick the Click. We'll continue this discussion on the other side and also get into the actual hockey team when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking all things Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A 3-2 overtime win for the Nashville Predators last night. They have won 6 games in a row and find themselves at 19-17-1 on the season, still in the 4th spot in the Central Division, which was an important win for the Predators last night on a variety of fronts. Chicago gets the job done. They win last night against the Carolina Hurricanes. The Columbus Blue Jackets, a 3-1 win yesterday against the Tampa Bay Lightning as well. And then Dallas, still a team that is behind you with 4 games in hand. So the more distance you can create and separate yourself between you and the Stars, the better news that is for the Nashville Predators. So a huge win last night for the Preds, and they just keep on chugging along. Joe, they're winning games kind of in different ways right now in terms of you really had to battle back last night. I thought Dallas, by far, in the first couple of periods, was the better team. The Predators found a way to kick it up into another gear in the third period. But you dominated Detroit largely last week. You played really well against Chicago and I think controlled the majority of those 2 games. That was not really the case last night for the Predators until the third period, but you found a way to win anyway. I think that's a really good sign.
Well, how many of these wins have they not scored first and not been in control of the game? Any?
Not much, yeah.
Is this the first time that they've had to like battle back like this?
Of the winning streak?
Yeah, of this stretch.
Well,
the
first game against Dallas, didn't they have to, of this 6-game winning streak, the last game of the road trip in Dallas, weren't they down like 3-1?
Yeah.
And
okay,
they came back and won that?
So basically against Dallas, they've
done
it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because you're right. They were totally outplayed in the first, and it could have been worse. I think Saros gets a lot of credit for keeping them in it. That's impressive to be able to battle back. Because, yeah, most of this stretch has been them really playing exactly how they want to play, getting ahead, playing from ahead, taking advantage of that. And this was a big win. Big win.
Big win, and they just continue to move right along. Yarncroke scoring last night. As we said, Josi just hammered one on the one-timer. Just a great play on the power play. The power play is moving along really well right now. They got a lot of movement out there with the puck, and there wasn't anybody within like 15 feet of Roman Josi when he shot that puck last night. Also became tied with Mark Streit as the top-scoring Swiss-born player of all time in the NHL last night. So he will move past Mark Streit very shortly, and by the time his career is done, it will not be close in terms of the best Swiss players of all time.
He will set the clock, so
he
to speak,
will set the
on
clock.
Swiss scoring in the NHL. Arvidsson got hosed last night. There's another way this didn't have to go to overtime. We just watched ESPN Top 10. Like, that's such a bad oversight, ESPN.
It's bad.
My gosh. I mean, Arvidsson, the wraparound, he couldn't do that again if he tried 100 times in a row to stop that puck.
I mean, Hudobin, that was a great save by Anton Hudobin on that play. And Arvidsson, I mean, he's basically got a wide-open net. Hudobin's like 4 feet out of the crease. And he dives back and gets it with his stick.
Just threw the stick out. Just threw the stick out, hoping, you know, and got it. But, yeah, Arvidsson, he has been – he's the new snake bit guy.
Yeah.
It's not new, but, I mean, it's happened a lot, it feels like, for him. But great third period. Desperation and executed and really prove something. I mean, they've got – when you can win in different ways, I mean, that's how you extend a streak like this, because every game's not going to go the way you want it to go.
Exactly, and I think with each passing game now at this point, you're starting to believe more and more that there's something real with this turnaround, and there's something tangible that you could point to, whether it's an identity change or a buy-in to a certain identity. They continue to play the same style of game every night and win. And that has been really impressive to see. We've talked a lot this week about how nobody saw this turnaround coming, and we are all very surprised that they found their way back into this spot. But now that they have, and that they are back in this spot, the question is, can they sustain it? And Greg Wyshynski was on with Stillman and Company a couple of days ago talking about the turnaround for the Predators and just highlighting what it would take to convince him that this turnaround is for real. Here's what Greg Wyshynski of ESPN had to say.
If you have two other lines that are playing that well, then maybe you have an argument that you can match the depth of a Carolina or a Tampa. But when you got one line going, and it ain't even your best line on paper, I mean, what are you doing, right? So if you're looking for some sort of scientific test, you could apply to the Nashville Predators and say they could be a team that outkicks their coverage, then that might be it. Give me three lines that are playing as well as the one line is right now, and then maybe we could have a conversation about them being a dark horse underdog, you know, Dallas Stars of 2020 bubble surprise team. But until that happens, I can't really get excited about them.
So that was Greg Wyshynski from ESPN talking about what he needs to see to maybe believe that the Predators could be a dark horse team in the playoffs. Look, I'm under no illusions that this team has the depth that Tampa Bay has or the depth that Carolina has or anything like that. But my question to you, Joe, is have we seen enough at this point to convince you that this turnaround is actually for real and that this is legitimate and that they're not just going to totally fall off the table anytime soon?
Yeah, but I still think that's two different things from what he was talking about. But yeah. No, I mean,
he's talking about, I just don't know if that's in the framework of reality.
Right, the idea. I mean, he's talking about, okay, if they got into one of these series, would they have enough? I mean, I think it's real in terms of getting to the playoffs, for sure. Now, my question, and we have Matt Duchene on at 8:45, as we do every Wednesday. I look at this team and I look at him and I know he doesn't have the numbers, but I also think that Matt Duchene has played better this year than the numbers. So is it possible that you add him and get another bump out of that? And that, you know, you look like a little bit more of a complete team if he comes back healthy, fresh, and doing a lot of the things he was doing. He's creating opportunities. I think that's something to consider, too. And, of course, as we've talked about, that also would soften the blow of the inevitable trading of Mikhail Granlund, which better happen.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan in Nashville text in, do the Preds have to bring Duchene and Ellis back into the lineup? The team is clicking great right now.
Yes.
I think there's always going to be that temptation to, well, just leave it alone. Don't fix it.
Remember when Barry Trotz did that in the 2012 playoffs when Kostitsyn and Radulov were suspended and they win game three like 2-0 or something?
So he just keeps them out in game
four? Keeps them out in game four when they weren't suspended anymore, and then they get shut out 1-0.
Yeah.
Like, if they're healthy, they're probably in the lineup.
Well, but at least that was – could that have just been, even though not technically suspended, still upset at them kind of thing?
Sure.
I think Trotz's reasoning was this lineup worked in game three, so we're going to stick with it in game four.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
It was.
And that's just an example of, you know, sometimes that's just overthinking it.
Yeah, player talent. I think there's still tough choices within that. I mean, I'm loving watching, you know, Trennan and those guys bang around. I mean, like, there's a lot to like about what's going on here, but if Duchene and Ellis are healthy, they're playing.
Yes.
And they should play.
They should play. They will play. I mean, the question is, like, who are you taking out right now? That to me is interesting because I think generally speaking, especially at forward, you look to the fourth line. The fourth line is playing pretty well for this group right now.
I mean, the way like Sisson's out there blasting people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would not mess with them.
Well, it's not like you're not getting anything offensively from them either. Like Trennan and Olivier in particular, playing pretty well offensively as of late, too. So, I mean, that's a good problem to have if you're John Hines. You'd like to have tough decisions about your lineup because, generally speaking, that means that your players are playing well and that you've got a lot of options that you feel good about. I think on defense, it's even more interesting because not only do you have Ellis out, Borowiecki is out right now as well. So if both of those guys come back, you're taking out Ben Harper and Alex Carrier? Like, who are you taking out? Alex Carrier's played pretty well. I don't know if there's a way I'd be taking him out at this point.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I was going to say Harper, yes. Carrier, I don't know, man. But again, with the larger discussion of trades, I mean, you basically plug into Shane. Do you plug into Shane with like Yarncroke and Cunning?
Maybe.
Trade Grant. that makes one thing easy.
Yeah. And that's certainly on the table for sure. And hopefully we'll find out a little bit later in the show exactly what's going on with Matt Duchene. Said last week that he was skating and it kind of plateaued a little bit. We'll see what happens with him on that front coming up at 8:45 here on the show. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. David Poile joining Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and making some interesting comments about his approach to the lineup and to the trade deadline coming up as well. We'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. But right now, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and the tournament is down to just four teams after last night's action. You've got Gonzaga in the mix, UCLA, Houston, and Baylor as well. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now's your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking you up with exclusive 40-1 odds on all four teams left in the bracket, even the favorites. That's right. New users get 40-1 odds on any team to win this round. You can win $200 on a $5 bet. All you got to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock those exclusive 40-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid safely in as little as 24 hours. So when you sign up, just make sure you do it with promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess the Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you will win a prize pack. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45 in this wonderful competition that we've put together here on the show. I'm on the board, and I feel a lot better about Preds Pick to Click now. So you can join us again tomorrow at 8:45 for your chance to participate in this competition.
I feel like your entire personality has changed. You're just a brighter...
Oh, I'm very happy today.
Sunnier person.
I am. I mean, when we talk about sunshine blowers, it's, I tell you what.
It's
I'm at the top
out
of that list today.
Out of
just radiance everywhere. Speaking of sunshine blowers, Predators got to be feeling pretty good about themselves right now as well. Six-game winning streak. They're back into a playoff spot in the Central Division, and we've been talking about for the last few weeks and really months at this point, what is the approach going to be from David Poile and the Predators at the trading deadline. Now, I think you and I have made it pretty clear that I would not change my approach as they get to this trade deadline. I still think a sell to some degree should be the way that the Predators go about handling this. But it doesn't really matter what I think. It doesn't really matter what you think. What matters at the end of the day is what David Poile and the Nashville Predators management thinks. And David Poile joins Darren Donick and Chase every Tuesday at 11:15. And he was on the show yesterday and talked about his approach to the trade deadline and maybe what a potential first-round matchup against a team like Tampa Bay could do to affect his strategy as well. Here's what Nashville Predators general manager David Poile had to say yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase.
Just getting in the playoffs and playing Tampa Bay and Tampa Bay being the favorite, heavy favorite in that series, is that reason to be happy? Is it a reason not to make any trades? Again, I have to... You know, think about all of those things. I can tell you, I don't think that's a reason for not doing anything. I don't think it's something that would paralyze me, if you will. I think there's still looking to improve. I have no false illusions here that a disappointing start to the season. I think we're recovering. We're finding out a lot about our team. We're inserting a lot of younger players in our lineup, and we're having good success with them. But I do know that we have to get better to get to where we ultimately want to go, and that's to be able to say that we have a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. So, again, there's going to be some tough decisions that are going to have to be made here in the next couple of weeks, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we learn something every day, and certainly hoping that we play well and win against Dallas tonight, and that will kind of solidify some of my thought process. A loss probably takes us in a little bit different direction, so all I can tell you is stay tuned.
So that was David Poile yesterday here on Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So a lot of interesting stuff to kind of sift through there from David Poile. Number one, I think we've always got to remember, especially when you're this close to the deadline, like you're not going to tip your hand really either way if you're David Poile or any general manager across the league. So that's always kind of the caveat when you go into these conversations. But I did find it interesting that when discussing a potential first-round matchup with a Tampa Bay or a team that would be a heavy favorite in that series, he talked about, you know, that's not a reason to stand by and do nothing, but it's also not a reason to be paralyzed with fear either heading into it. Also said he's under no false illusions about the start of the season. They've rebounded since then, but also said they're going to have to get better if they want to compete for the ultimate prize of winning a Stanley Cup. So lots of interesting little tidbits to kind of sift through there from David Poile's comments yesterday. Joe, what stands out to you about Poile's comments yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase?
Well, I think what stands out to me is some of the reaction needs to chill out, because nothing in there surprised me. I think he said what you would expect him to say.
Sure.
So, and I think honestly, if you're a Preds fan who's freaking out right now, like, and you're still sort of hate watching,
just enjoy it.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Enjoy the team.
Well, that's for sure. Yes, but also if you listen to that, that didn't sound like someone who was trying to cushion people for no moves at all.
Well, I didn't
take that away from that.
I think as each passing game goes by, there's like this thought out there from some Preds fans that it's not, I don't think it's a majority of Preds fans, but I do think it's some on Twitter. As like each game goes by, they're like, oh, like David Poile's going to buy, isn't he? Like he's going to start selling off or start buying and sacrificing draft picks. And
then
assets.
You freak out.
Yeah, if that happens, probably you freak out at this point. David Poile's not going to do that. Like, they're not going to buy at this deadline.
And I don't think they're going to stand pat either. And I don't think they should stand pat.
No.
So, but, yeah, they're not. They're absolutely not going to buy. I mean, that's the thing. Of all those comments, I mean, he said basically, we know we need to get better to be able to compete for a Stanley Cup. I mean, I read that as he understands that this team, while playing well and while figuring things out with young players and a lot of great things lately, it's not built for that at this very moment. Now, if you wanted to be on the total other end of the spectrum, be a total sunshine blower, you could say, well, DeShane comes back and DeShane and Johansson get rolling and, you know, look at the goaltending and you get Ellis back and, you know, who knows? Maybe they could shock people in the postseason, but I don't think that's realistic.
I mean, it would be difficult, especially if your first-round matchup is against Tampa Bay. But I think from those comments, like David Poile has a pretty good awareness about where this team is. And I think, and I said this yesterday here on the show too, I think this run recently helps you, because if you still want to sell, I think you're in a much better position from a negotiating standpoint if you're David Poile. But also the young guys have been a big part of this. And if you want to let them continue to be the ones not necessarily driving the bus, because I still think the goaltenders are the one driving the bus. Roman Josi's driving the bus. Forsberg's, when he's in there, still playing pretty well. So it's not like, you know, the number one difference with this group has been, hey, you know, the young guys have come in and Alex Carrier is just lighting it up on the back end. I think we've gone a little too far with that sometimes in the discussion around this team, but there's no doubt.
Well, the Tolvanen is.
Well, Tolvanen is lighting it up. And there's no doubt the young players, I think, have brought a lot of energy to this group, and that has been tangible with the veterans as well. So I think you're in a better spot now that if you still decided to sell, which I think they should, at least to some degree, maybe it's not Ekholm anymore, I don't know. But I think it at least should be the guys on expiring contracts that you can get some assets for. You're in a better position now to let your young guys continue to just come in and go with it. I think that's exciting if you're David Poile, that these young guys have come in and has played as well as they have, where maybe you're not worried about this massive drop-off if you start selling off some assets.
Yeah. No, and you're right. I mean, and even Poile said it in his comedy, talking about the young guys' great success. It is. It's one guy who's like, wow, this guy could be a top six, you know, staple for a long time,
yep.
Which is big, but it's one guy. But there's a bunch of other guys who just are doing good things and are showing some promise. So it's not like they – I mean, they're not the primary story of this whole thing. But you do feel a little bit better about a retool versus a rebuild, you know, if some of them keep coming along like this. I mean, the retool is the preferred path. The make some moves, make some good choices, get a Tomasino in there, and obviously I think you also have to know, like, who's your goaltender when on the other side of this too.
Yeah.
That's a big question still. But at least it looks way less needed to be blown up than it did a few weeks ago.
It does. And I think some people still get freaked out by that, and they think like a big blow up it's necessary. And look, maybe this offseason comes and you make some big moves, and maybe there is a guy like Ekholm on the move or a guy like Ellis on the move.
But that to me is not a blow up. No. One big piece or sure. Two even is not. I mean, a blow up is a blow up, right? I don't know what the exact definition of it is, but it's not that.
I brought this up with Robbie on Preds Insiders Monday night, that I understand the sentiment totally that a rebuild could help, you know, the long-term future. But if you blow it up, there is no guarantee that on the other side of this that you're a Stanley Cup contender.
Sure, of course.
So, I mean, I know that's an easy thing to say as, you know, as fans when they struggled as much as they did in the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season. But there's no guarantee. Just look at the Buffalo Sabres. Just look at the Edmonton Oilers for 10 years, who had the number one pick forever and couldn't make anything work until McJesus came around.
Detroit.
Like Detroit, Ottawa. There are examples for it not working. So
you don't want to be them.
I mean, this is, to me, a great sign that these rookies have come in and played so well, because there were a lot of question marks with these rookies coming into the season.
Well, and I think the prevailing question is, again, it's whatever, however long it is, whatever you do, who is your goaltender? Because if you're going to make, I mean, what's the idea? The idea is to go win a Stanley Cup. Do you have a goaltender right now who can do that for you? I mean, Saros is playing great.
He is.
But I haven't changed, you know, my mind massively on him based on this. I mean, he's
playing really well.
He's in a hot streak right now. But do you have the goaltender, and does it have to be the guy you just drafted a few years from now?
Yeah, and that's going to be the question. But, look, I mean, unless something just totally unforeseen happens, 2-3 years down the road, we're going to get a pretty good look at Askarov and see what he's got. Like, the dude is unbelievable right now in the league that he's playing in. He's a kid playing in a grown man league in the KHL, and he's pretty good. I mean, the guy, I think, is going to be a stud goaltender at the NHL level. So I think you feel great about that if you're the Predators moving forward. But we see it with goaltenders. It can take a while to get over here and start to play, and to play well. I mean, you're talking about maybe 2 or 3 more years before he's even part of the conversation. So is Saros good enough to bridge it until then? And can he get to the point where he's good enough where you actually consider making him the franchise guy, and it's not Askarov moving forward? I think that's an interesting question. I mean, I think sometimes we forget that Saros, while he's been around for a long time at this point, he's 25 years old. Now, he'll be 26 here in a couple weeks. But, I mean, Pekka was barely getting started at this point in his career when he was 26 years old. So there's still a lot of years left for UC Saros. Can he continue to improve? Can he continue to get better? I think that's a fair question moving forward.
But how many goaltenders – I mean, I hear you. He's young. But this is his fifth year of playing pretty extensively. I mean, how many goaltenders in their late 20s after that much time in the NHL change significantly for the better?
Not a lot. Not a lot. But you're also, and we haven't seen it as much this year as we thought. And a lot of that's been due to injury, but some of it was due to play on the ice as well. You thought this was going to be the year that he was the unquestioned starter. And he is right now, but that has not been the case all season long. Does that change the way you play when you're the guy and you're playing every other night? We've seen it for tiny stretches. We've not seen it for any significant length of time at this point. Now, maybe that tells you something, too, that we haven't seen it for any significant length of time at this point. He's in a very interesting spot right now because, to me, he has been the number one reason why this winning streak has happened and that they played as well as they played. Saros has been great. We've seen Saros play great before and then fall off the table. Can he? Because I said it yesterday, the numbers are going to come down. He's not going to be operating in a 970 save percentage. When he falls off a little bit, can it be less steep of a drop-off? That's my question moving forward.
Well, yeah, in the beginning of the year, it started with a drop-off.
Yeah.
But, of course, that was also like a penalty kill that was like, here, please have a, you know. I mean, it like the numbers
score,
were
please.
Skewed.
Yes.
It's like last night, Willie's talking on the broadcast about, you know, oh, they've now given up 10 power play goals to Dallas this year. I'm like, oh, that's right, because they gave up.
Like six
in
one game.
Yeah, you know. But all that stuff skewed the numbers badly for the goalies. And Pekka-Rinne has his great run. And then you're like, what is going to happen with Saros? Hey, to Saros' credit, like this team, he's responded.
We'll continue to discuss the Predators throughout the show here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, the Elite Eight underway again last night and completed. Now the Final Four is set. How excited are we about this Final Four field in the men's NCAA tournament? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. T-Mobile and 102.5 The Game are giving you and three friends the chance to win a stay-and-play experience at Hermitage Golf Course. Be listening in today at 4:15 p.m. for the keyword to text into the game line at 615-737-1025. More details at the GameNashville.com contest page. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, more college basketball action last night. Gonzaga, in a game that I thought could be pretty good, handled USC pretty easily, 85-66, in a game that they were totally in control of all game long. UCLA, a 51-49 win in a barn burner of a basketball game last night to take down the number one seed Michigan. So the Final Four is set. Gonzaga, Baylor, Houston, and UCLA. We'll get to the Final Four here in just a second, but just your reaction to the games we saw last night. Number one, between Gonzaga and USC, and then the nightcap between UCLA and Michigan.
Well, I told you guys the under, UCLA, Michigan. I told you guys weeks ago, and
is that what you said?
I said hit the under hard, and everybody got mad at me. I was right. You just had to wait a couple weeks. Yeah, that was the game I thought we saw Michigan State, which UCLA also beat. Man, Michigan. I mean, look, UCLA is a great story. Mick Cronin. I know maybe Cincinnati fans like Porth are a little tear going falling down their cheek as they watch him go to the Final Four.
I'm happy for him.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe you.
Porth taking the high road.
I just wish he would have done this in Cincinnati.
Because he got, what, one Sweet 16, right?
Correct.
And it was kind of the knock on him was tournament, you know. These tournament reps.
The first weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had the one game that they absolutely...
You do not have to... No.
I'm sorry.
Do not bring it up.
I'm sorry.
That
I'm
is
sorry.
Still an open wound.
He was about to be in a good mood, and you just totally ripped it out.
I apologize. But good for him. Good for UCLA. Great story. I mean, that's not an 11-seed team. But, man, Alabama goes 11-for-25 from the line. Michigan misses just layup after, you know, then I mean, wide open three that's an air ball. So it's a little bit of luck for them, I feel like. I also feel like, honestly, I think Alabama-Gonzaga right now could be incredible. Because Alabama's the team that we talk about them all the time. Oh, what about that bad shooting night? But on the hot shooting night, they beat Gonzaga. And I just don't think UCLA is going to hang with them. I mean, Gonzaga just destroyed USC, toyed with them. I think we're headed for Gonzaga-Baylor, and frankly, that's what we've been talking about all year, and I hope it happens, because I think that's, if anybody wants the 76 Hoosiers to stay undefeated, then, you know, to stay as the last team, then your hope is Baylor. And I think that could be a really great championship game, maybe, but man, Gonzaga.
They look pretty good.
They're awfully good.
Well, let me ask you this. Do we think the casual sports fan has interest in this Final Four? You've got Gonzaga, Baylor, UCLA, and Houston. So you don't have the normal – I mean, Kentucky's not a part of this. Duke's not a part of this. North Carolina's not a part of this. So I kind of like it from the standpoint that it's different. I'll be straight with you. Like, I don't have much interest in watching Gonzaga and UCLA play. Like, I think Gonzaga's going to wipe the floor with them. I don't have a ton of interest in watching Baylor and Houston play because I just don't care about Houston basketball. So I'm heavily rooting for a Gonzaga and Baylor championship game at this point. Do you think this Final Four is attractive to the college basketball fan at large? And also, do you think it's something the casual sports fan that will be interested in?
Well, I'm going to bring the other Final Four in too because there's a women's tournament. And I'm excited about that one and this one. But that's me. I'm sorry to Jared Stillman's Louisville Cardinals last night, by the way. Stanford absolutely turned that game upside down. Stanford, South Carolina should be a great Friday game. I think there are a lot of fans who just tune in to watch Duke or whatever. But you know what? I feel like the years when those teams aren't in should be more appealing, shouldn't they? Because it's not run-of-the-mill. But it's just, you know, name brands get people to tune in. So who knows? We'll see if the ratings are good. I mean, they were unbelievable for the Sweet 16, but I also think that circumstance, because they were weekend standalones, I'll be interested to see the Elite Eight rankings. I think a lot of people are probably like you, because Houston's not very exciting. They're pretty boring. They play defense. Kelvin Sampson teams have always been like that. I don't agree with you on UCLA-Gonzaga, though. I'm really interested in that game because I think Gonzaga is probably going to thump them, but UCLA seems to have some crazy stuff going on. Again, Alabama and Michigan doing uncharacteristic things, and UCLA is very tough. They're a very tough team, which I think that's a Mick Cronin, staple. So I've got some excitement for that game to see if they can hang in there. I mean, Johnny Juzang, he needs about a half inch, and he'll let one fly, and we'll see. I think it's setting up for a great Monday possibly, and I think the women's tournament. It's just Geno shouldn't be there. UConn shouldn't be there. Well, I mean, I guess we don't know if she would have made the free throws, but man, there's more still shots every day that come out on that horrific non call. I think it's going to be UConn. If it's UConn, South Carolina, which was a game that played earlier this year and a great game, and UConn came back late, that would be two epic championship games that we would have this weekend. So I think I'm not rooting for UConn because it's hard to root for Geno.
It is.
Because he's just insufferable.
He is.
But UConn, South Carolina would be pretty special.
Ryan Porth, how much interest do you have now that the Final Four has been set? What's your interest level in the Final Four?
Mild.
Mild.
If it's Baylor-Gonzaga, I'll be excited about the final. But the Final Four as a whole, like for Saturday night, is pretty mild. Outside of what kind of investment I might have in in the betting world. If it wasn't for sports betting, I probably wouldn't be excited at all about the matchups on Saturday night because it feels inevitable which two teams are going to win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm interested, like, in the state of Texas, is this a big deal between Baylor and Houston? I mean, it's
Dallas-Houston, yeah. Right, basically. A little bit of a
Texas rivalry.
Yeah, it's not like it's like Texas A&M no. With the massive,
right.
Massive schools. I think Houston's a pretty big school, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, we do. This has got to be I haven't seen this, but we've got the first, it's got to be the first four, Final Four that's all west of the Mississippi, right?
It is.
It's, yeah.
It is. Is that official?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Which is, interesting too. Not necessarily good. Again, college basketball. Where do people really, really get into college basketball? They get into it in
Northeast.
Tobacco Road.
Yeah, Tobacco Road. Yep.
You know, Indiana, where this is being played. There are a lot of different teams that could have made it that, you know, in those areas. And but, you know, it's a different kind of thing, and I think everybody should embrace it. But that's also coming from a college basketball junkie.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Organ from the Tennessee, and we'll get into a little bit more of the Vanderbilt stuff we talked about yesterday with the investment in the athletic department and go through the history of what this means for Vanderbilt as they move forward here. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.